Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to this podcast ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app today.
Whether it's the events of the day or whatever you like to listen to, stories help inform and inspire us. With Audible, you can enjoy the storytelling experience anywhere. With thousands of audiobooks, podcasts, and originals, from gripping historical fiction to compelling memoirs read by the authors themselves, there's more to imagine when you listen. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. If you enjoy thought-provoking novels, you might want to check out Here One Moment by Leanne Moriarty, a captivating tale about the struggle for certainty in an uncertain world. As strangers on a plane learn their fates, some worse than others. Sound interesting? New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/CBSPod or text CBSPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/CBSPod or text CBSPod to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. audible.com/CBSPod.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Good morning. I'm Jane Pauley, and this is Sunday Morning. With early voting underway in many states across the country and Election Day less than 2 weeks away, politics is front and center this morning. Nora O'Donnell spent part of the weekend traveling with candidate Kamala Harris as she barnstormed first in Texas, then in the critical state of Michigan. She takes us on the stump with candidate Harris as America decides.
So let's do this.
It's been a high-profile weekend for Vice President Kamala Harris, campaigning with Beyonce in Texas and yesterday in Michigan with another superstar, former First Lady Michelle Obama.
Can we get this done, Michigan? We need you.
The polling has you and Donald Trump essentially tied. Do you believe those numbers?
You know, listen, it's a presidential race, and it should be close.
Ahead on Sunday Morning, we talk politics in the home stretch with Kamala Harris.
It's been almost 50 years since Stevie Nicks joined Fleetwood Mac and recorded some of the most popular songs of all time. Nicks went on to a successful solo career, and at age 76, Tracy Smith tells us, she's still writing music that's both provocative and relevant.
Oh, now you know that you
Her music helped define a generation.
I want to teach him to fight.
But of all the songs Stevie Nicks has written, this one, based on her own experience, hits closest to home.
And this is like super personal and weird. You know, it's like you can edit this out. But the
truth, I appreciate your sharing the story, though.
Well, and it's a good story, too. I tell a good story.
Stevie Nicks, in her own words, later on Sunday Morning.
Whether you know him from The English Patient, Schindler's List, or the Harry Potter movies, Ralph Fiennes is one of Hollywood's most versatile leading men. He's also prolific, with two new films making their debut. He's in conversation with Martha Teichner.
Locked inside the Vatican, in conclave, cardinals have gathered to elect a new pope.
It's not a war.
It is a war!
Ralph Fiennes plays the man refereeing the turbulent process and his own inner turmoil.
I like characters that have contradictions inside them.
Coming up this Sunday morning, Vatican Intrigue, the thriller.
He is perhaps the very embodiment of the expression Renaissance man, the great Leonardo da Vinci. David Pogue checks in with filmmaker Ken Burns, whose new documentary examines the life and times of the legendary Italian artist. Seth Stone this morning gets lost and found inside the works of a master maze designer. With Lee Cowan, we visit a town on the front lines of the border crisis, Eagle Pass, Texas. John Wertheim catches up with Mr. Baseball himself, the endlessly entertaining Bob Uecker, along with a story from Steve Hartman, and more. It's the last Sunday morning of the month, October 27th, 2024, and we'll be back in a moment.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, podcast listeners. Great news. All your favorite comedy podcasts can be enjoyed ad-free on Amazon Music. Listen to your favorite music, plus top podcasts, completely ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/adfreecomedy. That's amazon.com/adfreecomedy to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just 9 days until Election Day. No time to lose in a presidential race where every vote counts. Nora O'Donnell is on the campaign trail with candidate Kamala Harris.
I'm not here as a celebrity. I'm not here as a politician. I'm here as a mother.
Beyoncé's song, Freedom, has become Kamala Harris's anthem. And that was the message in Houston Friday night.
So why Texas?
You know, Texas is ground zero on this most extraordinary issue, which is that we are fighting for a woman's right to make decisions about her own body.
Tonight, Beyoncé is quite the opening act.
I know, I'm really excited about that. It's gonna be great.
It was the vice president's largest rally ever. 30,000 people braved 90-degree heat.
And now the Attorney General of Texas is suing the United States government.
To hear her scorching new attack on Texas's strict abortion rules.
On the one hand, Donald Trump won't let anyone see his medical records. And on the other hand, they want to get their hands on your medical records. Simply put, they are out of their mind.
We traveled with the vice president over 2 days for a rare behind-the-scenes look on Air Force Two and the battleground state of Michigan.
I gotta ask myself, well, why on earth is this race even close? I lay awake at night wondering what in the world is going on.
Where Michelle Obama campaigned with Kamala Harris for the first time, challenging men to see women's health care as a life or death matter.
If we don't get this election right, your wife, your daughter, your mother, we as women will become collateral damage to your rage.
I pledge to you, when Congress passes a bill to restore reproductive freedom nationwide, as President of the United States, I will proudly sign it into law.
And you have been clear that that is a priority, but what you have not been clear on is what that bill would look like. You've talked about restoring Roe versus Wade.
Oh, but I am very clear.
But you've not said what restrictions you would support.
Let's put back in place Roe versus Wade. This was not an issue. When Roe versus Wade was intact, for 50 years, half a century, women, together with their physicians, were here at a medical office talking with physicians. Women, in consultation, if they chose, with their priest, their pastor, their rabbi, their imam.
So you do support restrictions after viability?
I support Roe versus Wade being put back into law by Congress and to restore the fundamental right of women to make decisions about their own body. It is that basic.
But you know, there are restrictions. With Roe versus Wade, there were restrictions after viability.
We would not be debating this if Donald Trump had not hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade. And what we have seen, as demonstrated last night and every day these last 2 years, is extraordinary harm that has occurred in America, where women have died because of Trump abortion bans, where women who have survived rape and girls' incest, and no exception for someone whose body has been violated to make a decision about what happens to their body next. We have seen women who are experiencing a miscarriage around a pregnancy they prayed for and being denied health care because doctors are afraid they're going to go to prison, and those women developing sepsis. We have seen extraordinary harm and pain and suffering happen because of what Donald Trump did in intending and effectuating an overturning of Roe v. Wade. Yes, my first priority is to put back in place those protections and to stop this pain and to stop this injustice that is happening around our country.
So then why not say what restrictions you would support as part of that?
I've told you. And let's put back in place Roe v. Wade.
And when you argue that Donald Trump, if elected, would put forward a national abortion ban.
Just read Project 2025.
The former president said that's not true. He would veto.
He says everything. Come on, are we really taking his word for it? He said that women should be punished. He has been all over the place on this. But I'm too busy watching what he's doing to see what he has said.
Harris is on the trail in Pennsylvania today, and she plans to make a major address this coming Tuesday.
1 week before Election Day, you will be in Washington, not in a battleground state, to give a major speech at the same place that Donald Trump did on January 6th. Why?
So I would and do think about that place more in the context of what will be behind me, which is the White House. And I'm doing it there because I think it is very important for the American people to see and think about who will be occupying that space on January 20th. And the reality of it is that most Americans can visualize the Oval Office. We've seen it on television. And this is a real scenario. It's either going to be Donald Trump or it's going to be me, sitting behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office.
With 9 days left to go, the vice president tells us there's no doubt about what her closing arguments will be.
His first priority is going to be people like him, not people like the people who are watching this right now, people who work hard, seniors, for example, who are depending on that Social Security check as the only source of their income when Donald Trump is saying we should raise the age of Social Security to 70 before you're eligible.
But he says he's going to cut taxes on their benefits.
He has been consistent. And again, Google Project 2025 about what he thinks about Social Security and why he thinks it is nothing that should be supported, what he has, his intentions to cut Medicare and Medicare benefits, his intention, look again at Project 2025, to repeal the $35 a month cap on insulin that we have put in place.
You know that Donald Trump has disavowed Project 2025. He says that is not his campaign plan.
As you know, I am a former prosecutor. His DNA is all over it. All over it. His running mate wrote the foreword to the book of the author of Project 2025. I believe Donald Trump's name appears at least 300 times in Project 2025. And it is a blueprint, a detailed blueprint, that is about the danger and the detail of what Donald Trump and his allies plan if he is in the White House again.
CBS News has also asked former President Donald Trump to sit down with us to talk about this critical upcoming election. Mr. Trump has thus far declined, but the offer still stands. Filmmaker Ken Burns' latest documentary explores the life of Italian artist, inventor, scientist, Leonardo da Vinci, a Renaissance man in every sense of the word. Burns is talking with our Renaissance man, David Pogue.
Ever since he got a movie camera for his 17th birthday, Ken Burns has been making documentaries. Over the years, he's created 36 documentary series for PBS, all of them about American history. But now...
Well, let's talk about the big news. After decades of making first-class documentaries, you have a new haircut.
So Tom Brokaw told me when I turned 60 that I needed a big boy haircut. And I sort of punted. And so now that I'm 71, I've had a bigger boy haircut lately. Yeah. So breaking news.
Yeah.
But seriously, there is some news. He's just made his first project ever that's not about an American subject. It's called Leonardo da Vinci.
It was just getting to know one of the most incredibly interesting human beings who has ever walked the earth. And the fact that he turns out to be arguably the greatest painter and certainly the greatest scientist of his age is, extra added.
It's so hard to make a film.
Burns co-directed the show with his daughter Sarah Burns and her husband David McMahon. We all met up at New York's American Museum of Natural History.
You're choosing as your subject somebody, there's no video, there's no photography. How do you make 4 hours on a person who essentially doesn't exist?
He most definitely exists in the records that he's left.
He left behind these 6,000 some odd notebook pages with all of these different studies, geology, physics, all of his preparatory studies for his paintings, grocery lists, to-do lists.
You're going to speak to the art historians, you're going to speak to the biographers, you're going to find people who are influenced him across several disciplines.
Leonardo would paint portraits, draw futuristic machines, and make meticulous observations in dozens of notebooks.
What emerges is a portrait of a genius who's not just a painter, not just a scientist, not just an inventor.
Leonardo drew muscles, bones, and organs.
He wants to know everything about everything. So he's dissecting a cadaver because he wants to understand how the heart works and how the body works, all towards creating a painting that is more lifelike, more believable, more alive.
It's one just gigantic volume of material asking fundamental basic questions. Where did I come from? Where am I going? How does the universe work? I mean, these are things that occupied him every single moment of every single day.
What also emerges is a man who rarely finished anything.
He attempted how many paintings and finished how many?
There's fewer than 20 paintings that exist today, and probably less than half of those are actually finished, we think.
He was also coming across in this film as a world-class procrastinator.
Well, I don't think there's any procrastination involved. I think things are left unfinished or undelivered to patrons because the questions that he was asking of this work for himself had been satisfied.
Being interested in so many different things as he was, that there's always the next thing, a new question, something else that comes along that takes away his attention.
Two things Da Vinci did finish, though, are among the most famous paintings ever made.
Well, The Last Supper was a very commonly painted subject for Leonardo's time. Leonardo discovers a completely different thing happening than most other painters had. This is Christ telling his disciples that one of them is going to betray him. And he puts them in groups, and so one is putting his hand over his eyes, another is reaching for a knife, and so it becomes a painting that feels like seconds unfolding. It makes you feel like he would have been a filmmaker today had he lived in our time.
I think he invents film. There's a kind of inherent dynamism and movement to it that's just, it's exquisite.
He also made this painting.
In order for him to be a great painter, he has to understand the circulatory system. He has to understand about hair. He has to understand about geography and rock formations and mist and how atmosphere works. And so my wish is that nobody ever makes a joke about her smile ever again, because she is embodying the entire human project in that thing.
If you've ever edited photos or videos on an iPhone or a Mac, you may already know one of Burns' favorite editing techniques.
Arms, heads, blankets, guns, and knapsacks were tossed into the clear air.
Zooming or panning across a still image.
It's a process of trying to shake alive something that is two-dimensional and make it dimensional and real.
But the new documentary, narrated by Keith David, introduces techniques that will be very new to Burns aficionados, split screens that juxtapose old and modern footage.
He was a lateral thinker. He made connections across all of these disciplines. Showing multiple things on screen at the same time was a way of, in some ways, visually illustrating Leonardo's thought process.
What is the balance of labor here? How do you guys work together?
Dave and I are the writers of this. And then once we have our script, we begin our editing process. And that's when we get in there all together and work on making it better together. Occasionally we disagree about what that should be.
But doesn't he automatically win because he's Ken Burns?
No. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't wash with collaboration.
But now it's done, it's delivered to PBS, and you know that it's perfect. You wouldn't change it.
Many of Leonardo's designs were ornithopters, machines that relied on the human-powered flapping of wings to achieve flight.
Leonardo da Vinci airs on PBS in mid-November. It's the story of a fascinating man and an astonishing life.
Real knowledge, he believed, was found in nature and best gained through observation and experience.
He could feel, I think, quite rightfully, that he had lived a fuller life than practically anybody I've ever come across in any study in any period.
When 60 Minutes premiered in September 1968, there was nothing like it.
We realize, of course, that new approaches are not always instantly accepted.
Very few have been given access to the treasures in our archives. But that's all about to change.
Will you tell me something, if you can? We'll name no names.
I'm Seth Doan of CBS News, and I'm excited to introduce a new podcast from 60 Minutes called A Second Look.
You rolling?
The team at 60 Minutes has spent the last year digging through thousands of tapes and reels of film, and you're about to hear some of the sound that was never broadcast, like 21-year-old Taylor Swift.
10 years from now, I'll be 30. What's the sound then?
We'll hear how much our world has changed and how it hasn't.
You were either for the books or against the books, and it was almost like a civil war.
It's time for A Second Look. Listen to 60 Minutes, A Second Look, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you in part by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you like to get lost in a story filled with twists and turns, time for something truly amazing. From our Seth Doan.
Two paths here.
I would say.
Do you want to go that way or that way?
I would say this way. This looks.
He knows the way and planned it, so we would not.
I'll go one way, you go the other, and we'll both be coming back here before you know.
Okay.
I bet.
And betting against a maze designer in his maze is a bad idea.
Ta-da! Oh. Because you see, it is a loop.
73-year-old Adrian Fisher is part English gentleman, part nutty professor, and perhaps majority kid.
When you hear there's a maze there, we all want to have a go. It's like being a child. What's forbidden? Out of sight. I want to explore it.
We were exploring amid the 2,400 yew trees.
It does take a lot of work. This is a lot of trimming of hedges.
When you plant a maze, you don't plant for a quick result. You plant so that for the next 400 years at least. I don't have a guarantee any maze over 400 years, I can assure you.
But there is a guarantee to 400?
Yeah, take it up with me personally. But
this maze is on the sprawling grounds of Leeds Castle in Kent, England.
people will always want to play with mazes. It's the ultimate playful puzzle.
People have been trying to solve these playful puzzles for centuries, millennia, if you consider labyrinths.
A labyrinth has no choices at all. It's a single thread, and a maze has junctions and choices. Labyrinths started 5,000 years ago. There was the Great Labyrinth of Egypt. And then after 4,500 years, labyrinths or mazes started appearing in Italy, in hedges.
Fisher has worked in 43 countries, building 700 mazes.
It's like a piece of sculpture. You engage with it, you interact, and you go away, and you look back as you leave, and you keep on talking about it because it's excited you. So it is essentially an art form.
Do you see yourself as an artist?
I think very much so, yeah.
Commissions include, perhaps counterintuitively, the airport in Singapore.
And you've got a plane to catch, and if you get lost, you've missed the flight.
The maze in the 2023 thriller Saltburn is his.
You have also done corn mazes through cornfields.
Corn maze, yes, to design the first corn maze in the world in Pennsylvania. Since when, I've gone and built over, 420 corn mazes around the world.
His mazes have set Guinness World Records. He's been recognized by royalty, and his maze at Winston Churchill's birthplace, Blenheim Palace, is featured on the £5 note.
It's quite a British thing, mazes, but we absolutely love them.
Helen Bosner-Wilton is the chief executive of the Leeds Castle Foundation. This site draws about 500,000 people a year.
What do visitors say about the maze?
Pretty fiendish, actually.
Fiendish.
A lot of people get lost in it. They do need fishing out.
No, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you mean? So
we have to send our visitor experience people in to rescue them.
Are you lost?
Yeah. You might want to go down this way. This way and down there.
Go down that one right. That's it. Yep.
It is complicated. I've been through it, but I would think you'd be able to find your way out.
You would have thought, but a lot of people can't.
That's a new dead end there.
The Stout family from Oklahoma was having trouble finding their way.
Keep all the turns to the left.
Okay.
Right?
From now.
From now.
Jimmy is 19.
No Google Maps for this maze.
Roman dodecahedrons like that, so I can now go there. These are the flags.
The puzzle-obsessed Adrian Fisher's route into this work has the twists of one of his creations. As a teen, he'd built a maze in his father's garden. Then, while on business, started doing side trips to castles to make a pitch.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you had a maze in the grounds of your castle? It's different to just looking at suits of armor or furniture or whatever. It gives people something lovely to do.
And he proves one does not need a castle.
Not everybody has a maze in their backyard.
No, we can do something about that, but
he planted this one about 20 years ago at his home in Dorset, England.
This is good English weather for maze growing, hedge growing.
It'll grow, yes. Then it'll need clipping.
Will you and your wife come out and use your maze?
We're familiar with how to go solving it by now, but
I'm sure I would imagine.
I mean, my father told me this. He said, the thing about gardens is it's an opportunity to boast.
And really, what better way to boast than with this status symbol of kings and queens?
How many of us can have a large enough garden to do something which has no other purpose than to be joyful and entertain?
It mixes design, history, and a very old-fashioned form of adventure.
Yeah. Been in there about 3 hours.
Oh, dear God, what have you done to your fingernails?
I beg your pardon?
This diabolical varnish, the colour is completely wrong.
Oh, really? Don't you like it?
It's not that I don't like it. I am physically repulsed.
That's Ray Fiennes showing his comic side in the Grand Budapest Hotel. The versatile and busy British actor is starring in two new movies and in conversation with our Martha Teichner.
The throne of the Holy See is vacant.
In Conclave, based on the Robert Harris novel.
What happened?
They say a heart attack.
Ray Fiennes is a Vatican insider, the cardinal tasked with running the gathering of the entire College of Cardinals in Rome to select a new pope. This is St. Peter's Square, magnificent, serene, the public face of the Vatican. Just beyond it, the Sistine Chapel. inside also magnificent. Where the election of a pope is concerned, literally, the room where it happens. But as imagined in the film, not serene at all. Conclave is a taut thriller.
How has this been kept a secret for so long?
With a shock of an ending you just don't see coming.
This is a conclave, Aldo. It's not a war.
It is a war!
It also stars Stanley Tucci, John Lithgow, and Isabella Rossellini.
It's not my job to go hunting for secrets.
Finds as Cardinal Thomas Lawrence navigates the intrigue, the treachery even.
You should be careful, Thomas.
Of papal politics. A reluctant player, consumed with doubt.
If there was only certainty and no doubt, there would be no mystery, and therefore no need for faith.
This doubting Thomas is a very Ralph Fiennes sort of character.
I like characters that have contradictions inside them. And Lawrence, as soon as I read it, I love this. This is a human, he's not a saint. He's a good man trying to find his way. I was brought up a Catholic, and then I rebelled when I was 13. My mother was a committed Catholic. So God questions have been in my family since I was a child.
Did you come away with anything answered of your own questions?
No, I came away with more questions. We use that lovely lion.
We met Fiennes at a 16th century palace.
You just feel the weight of different eras, different epochs.
Villa Medici, one of the Rome locations that stood in for the Vatican.
So, perhaps it's time you decided upon a name.
In this key scene with Tucci, Fiennes lets slip that even his conflicted character has ambitions to be pope.
John. I would choose John.
I used to think that acting was about becoming someone else. You changed completely and you were not recognizable. To a certain extent, it can be about that. But as I've got older, I've thought, no, the springboard is yourself.
What will the people say when they see I have returned alone? That I led all their men to their deaths?
In The Return, out in December, Fiennes, now 61, plays Odysseus, the once proud king, finally home after the Trojan War.
He's exhausted, he's emaciated, and also just, I think, not at all the warrior.
So, who are you?
He's diminished as a man.
Nobody.
Fiennes had to transform himself physically for the role.
We said he should look ropey, literally he's been at sea.
Slowly reclaiming his identity, Odysseus finally faces his wife Penelope, played by Juliette Binoche.
What does the Queen think?
The chance to work again with Binoche, a longtime friend, was what convinced Fiennes to do the film, their third together.
We've been given this gift of these famous, iconic parts. It may sound a bit airy-fairy, but I think all actors say, oh, this role has come to me and I meant to do it. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I meant to do this, it's come to me, and this other person is doing it.
I've found plums. We have plums in the orchard.
The English Patient was another one of those for both of them. It won 9 Academy Awards, including Best Supporting Actress for Binoche. Fiennes received one of his 2 career Oscar nominations. He's played dozens of singular characters, good and bad, in both films and plays.
The police are here.
In addition to Gustav in the Grand Budapest Hotel.
She's been murdered, and you think I did it.
Hey! He was Voldemort, a noseless monster in the Harry Potter series. And a Nazi concentration camp commandant in Schindler's List.
What's a person worth?
No. What's one worth to you?
The need is there, clearly.
We saw Ralph Fiennes most recently on Sunday Morning, on stage in 2022.
And here!
As Robert Moses, supremely confident.
And I did what no one else could do.
Power-hungry, the man who shaped 20th century New York City.
You're given a sports car where you can rev it up with anger and contempt, and there's no compromise, and it's shocking, and it's, some people find it, but it's thrilling to play.
In New York last week, discussing acting, he described the excitement of playing arrogance.
Wonderful. You challenge your audience with it. Argue with me if you dare. You will not win. I know the answer. And that's a great provocation.
Have any of the characters you've played affected your life after you've played them?
Characters mark you. There's often a time of a kind of mourning if you've loved playing a part and you've given it everything. It's not that you let go of the part, but you're feeling a kind of mental exhaustion. So you need time to just shake it away.
I must see her myself.
But only until another role finds him.
The welfare of the sister is my responsibility.
And this conclave is mine.
People sometimes say, what do you want to play? And I go, well, I could tick off a few Shakespeare parts or well-known Ibsen parts, but actually that's not really... I want to be surprised by a new script, something I've never heard of. And you go, oh, yes. Oh, my God, what is this new thing? I've not heard of it. I've not read the source material. And this all feels... it feels good. It feels right.
Credit Karma makes building your credit straightforward and stress-free with help from our credit builder. Sign up today at creditkarma.com and start enhancing your financial health. Credit Karma, your partner in building a brighter financial future. Credit Builder Plan is serviced by Credit Karma Credit Builder and requires a line of credit and savings account provided by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
Cheers to fall at Whole Foods Market with sales through October 29th. Select frozen pizzas are 50% off with Prime. So stock up and be ready for game day. Hosting a cozy dinner? There's a sale on hearty no antibiotics ever beef chuck roast and stew meat. Or be the best guest ever and bring specialty cheese like Humboldt Fog. Cheers to fall at Whole Foods Market.
We hear a lot of talk about the southern border in the news and on the campaign trail. But it seems very little of that talk comes from people who actually live there. So we sent Lee Cowan to Texas to listen.
Along the banks of the Rio Grande, the raw emotions in our debate over the border stand out against that river grass. The fear is certainly evident in the razor wire, in the fortress of shipping containers, in the orange floating barriers. But the desperation is pretty clear too, in the discarded footwear and clothing, and in the makeshift markers of those who lost everything trying to enter the U.S., even their names. That duality has always been the reality of Eagle Pass, Texas, a town where Main Street and Mexico have met since the end of the Mexican-American War.
Just like anywhere else where, like, you have the Everglades culture, you have Appalachia, you have the Ozarks, this is the border culture.
Almost all of its nearly 30,000 residents are of Latino or Mexican descent. The city's violent crime rate is well below the national average. And the pride that residents here take in their binational, bicultural, bilingual traditions is visible everywhere.
We celebrate both countries, we celebrate both identities, we celebrate all of it.
The pass to Velasquez at the 20 makes...
On Friday nights, residents root for the home teams, like the Mavericks and the Eagles.
Muy buen cliente de la tienda.
Muchas gracias.
All right.
The mom-and-pop grocery store welcomes you to their neighborhood. And birthdays are celebrated in a park under a Texas sky. But as the debate over the border has heated up, Eagle Pass has found itself in the political frying pan.
Their impression of Eagle Pass is it's a dirty little town with no control on the border. That is not true.
Eagle Pass Fire Chief Manuel Mello says his hometown got a lot of attention when a surge of illegal crossings made headlines just before Christmas last year.
We had a lot of drownings back then, especially children, 2 months old, 6 months old, 10 years old. When you see these guys coming back with their heads sunk in and their eyes are red, you know they've seen something very bad.
But he says his compassion gave way to anger, too.
There were a lot of migrant families, but some were questionable. When you start seeing people tattooed all the way up with different gang insignias, you can tell.
I have used a clause in the Constitution that empowers states to defend themselves.
In an unprecedented move, Texas Governor Greg Abbott sent in the National Guard and made the riverfront look, well, like most military outposts do. It's all part of his Operation Lone Star, an $11.1 billion program that put the state squarely at odds with the federal government over control of an international border.
There are some people that really don't want the law enforcement or the military in Eagle Pass. I personally don't have a problem with them.
But others did. Some saw the show of force as nothing but an expensive band-aid, masking the human element of migration that faces almost every border town.
They've traveled for hundreds, if not thousands of miles. They've been attacked, they've been beaten, they've been raped, some of them have been killed. And when a little river like that is in the way, they're not going to stop.
The troops took over a riverfront park as a base of operations, effectively closing it to the public, including Jesse Fuentes, who used to run a kayaking business here on the Rio Grande.
I don't have access to the river anymore. I can't get in the water.
And even if he could, he says he'd be dodging patrol boats.
So that's pretty constant?
Yeah. That's what I run into every time that I'm on the river.
Freeze, Shelby Park! Freeze, Shelby Park! Freeze,
it's not just him, though. Almost anyone who wants to use the park these days can't.
We can't go in there and have our festivals. We can't go in there and have our soccer games. We can't go in there and use our frisbee. We can't go in there and play baseball.
But has it worked? Well, it's hard to tell. Border statistics can be a bit fungible. Last month, crossings nationally were at their lowest point since 2020. The Biden administration would like to take credit for that, and has. But Texas Republicans, and many others in the GOP, say as a deterrent, Operation Lone Star not only worked, but should be modeled elsewhere.
Nice weather, beautiful day, but a very dangerous border. We're going to take care of it. Thank you.
Everyone from Donald Trump to the Speaker of the House, even Elon Musk, Black Stetson and all, have come here to Eagle Pass to tout the program.
Get a sense for what's going on and so you can get the kind of like the real story.
But locals say rarely does anyone venture far from a photo op.
You know, they weren't visiting the schools or the hospitals or the shelters, no, they were just coming to the river.
We are the poster child of Operation Lone Star. That's what everybody wants to talk about.
Yoselin Riojas grew up here in Eagle Pass, and like many here, think it's time for the troops to give the riverfront back.
I think people forget the beauty of what this community is, especially the locals, and I wanted to really reintroduce that idea before we can start talking about what's happening within our own backyards.
So she enlisted mostly local artists to create a traveling art exhibit called The Border is Beautiful.
When you look around, is it a bit nostalgic of what Eagle Pass used to look like?
I would say so. I think a lot of these photographs, a lot of these paintings, it's all nostalgic for cultural identity, what the border used to look like before the wall, before the fence.
There are vibrant sunsets, whimsical tortillas, poignant portraits of families, and portrayals of what it feels like not to be home, at home.
It kind of reflects, as you can see, the feeling of isolation and the irony of being called an alien.
Most of the works aren't overly political, she says, just reflections about what it means to live on America's welcome mat. Or the unwelcome one, depending on how you see it.
What do you see inside? What do you got?
This past spring, Texas Governor Greg Abbott welcomed soldiers to a new forward operating base that's still under construction, just to the south of Eagle Pass. It's massive, covering 80 acres that might one day house around 2,000 troops. There's a permanence to that that has this border town at least a bit uneasy. The balance between creating a safe border and a hospitable one is a line that voters far away from Eagle Pass will be deciding just a few days from now.
Welch's knows some things make zero sense, like why the algorithm knows your music tastes better than you do. But zero sugar and full flavor? We made that make sense with new Welch's Zero Sugar. All that passion fruit or tropical punch goodness and none of the sugar. You gotta sip it to get it. New Welch's Zero Sugar. Let's fruit stuff up.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
That's the one and only Stevie Nicks, whose songs have touched the lives of millions. She's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee twice over, both for her work with Fleetwood Mac and for her solo career. But as Tracy Smith found out, this music legend isn't resting on her laurels.
On a perfect Manhattan evening, on a balcony high above Midtown, Stevie Nicks was taking it all in.
Do you like coming to the city?
I do, I love it.
But her New York trip earlier this month was all business.
Hi, I'm Ariana Grande, and I'm hosting SNL this week with Stevie Nicks.
This is your second time hosting.
Well, you know what they say. Lightning strikes maybe once.
Maybe twice.
You can't trick me into singing.
Yeah, totally, Stevie.
Nicks was scheduled to appear on Saturday Night Live.
And the landslide brought me down.
And the 76-year-old superstar was, well, scared to death.
The last time that you were on Saturday Night Live?
40 years ago.
What was your reaction when you got the call to be on Saturday Night Live this time?
I said, absolutely not.
You said no.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because I was terrified to do it because it goes out live. They'll take your soul,
they'll take your power. And this is what she was scheduled to perform. The Lighthouse, a rallying cry for women's rights. It's the bend through your fingers. You don't have what you had. You don't have much time. She says the inspiration struck a few months after Roe v. Wade was overturned. And it took her less than a day to write the song and record it.
It takes some courage to step into the waters of the abortion debate.
Yes, it does.
Why take the risk?
Because everybody kept saying, well, somebody has to do something. Somebody has to say something. And I'm like, well, I have a platform. I tell a good story. So maybe I should try to do something. I was also there. I was been there, done that.
Been there, indeed. In the late 70s, Stevie Nicks was on top of the world with the legendary band Fleetwood Mac. You can go your own way. She'd broken up with her longtime partner and Fleetwood Mac bandmate Lindsey Buckingham. Lovers forever. And she was romantically involved with Don Henley of the Eagles when she found out she was pregnant and decided that, as a touring musician, being a mother was not in the cards.
In 1979, you had to terminate a pregnancy?
Mm-hmm. In my younger life, I had already decided I didn't want to have somebody have their feelings hurt all the time and, like, when are you coming back? Well, I don't know. I'll be back when I get back, you know? And not even having any idea how big that Fleetwood Mac was going to get in the future, you know? And this is, like, super personal and weird, so I you know, it's like you can edit this out if necessary. But the
I appreciate your sharing the story, though.
Well, and it's a good story, too. I tell a good story. I got pregnant, and it was like, why? I have an IUD. I am totally protected. I have a great gynecologist. How come this has happened?
So you took all the precautions.
Yes, and I'm like, this can't be happening. Fleetwood Mac is 3 years in, and it's big, and we're going into our third album. It was like, oh, no, 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 no. It would have destroyed Fleetwood Mac.
if you had a baby?
Absolutely, because many reasons. I would have like tried my best to get through, you know, being in the studio every single day, expecting a child, but mostly having a child with Don Henley would not have gone over big in Fleetwood Mac with Lindsay and me, who we'd been broken up for 2 or 3 years. It would have been a nightmare scenario for me to live through.
Now there you go again, you say you want your freedom.
Fleetwood Mac was a collection of stars, but Stevie Nicks was front and center. She was the one who wrote the band's only number one single in the U.S., Dreams, a song that is a hit again today on stream. But if Dreams is about heartache and vulnerability, Stevie Nicks' new song is just the opposite.
I have my scars, you have yours.
It's about fighting for the same reproductive rights that she had.
There are people who criticize your choice, condemn your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to say to
them?
Well,
I'd like to know, so are you just the few guys who are making the decisions for us?
And ultimately the choice
was mine. And you know what? If people want to be mad at me, be mad at me. I don't care. Had I made the other choice, had I gone the other way, I'd have been a great mom. I went this way, and I've done great.
Stevie Nicks would go on to new heights as a solo artist, becoming the first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice.
Well, I've been.
Of course, Nicks has had her share of heartache as well. The woman she called her musical soulmate, Christine McVie, died in 2022, and Nicks was shattered.
I wanted to go and get there and sit on her bed and hold her hand and sing Touched by an Angel to her until I was sure she heard it. And I didn't get to. I didn't get to say goodbye to her.
If you see my reflection.
Stevie now ends her shows with a moving tribute to her best friend. She can sing, but she can't bring herself to watch.
And we have a really beautiful montage of her and me. I never turn around and look. I can't, because I'll start to sob. And if I start to sob, then I won't be able to finish the song, so I just don't look at it. And now she's gone. But she's not gone. She's with me a lot.
You feel her
and
presence?
And I feel her presence all the time. I especially feel her presence on stage. She's here.
What's that?
It's her. It's a little bit of her. Ashes.
Oh, my goodness.
But as important as that is that she's in my heart.
I want to tell him this has happened before. Don't let it happen again.
In case you missed it, she did appear on SNL, and her performance brought down the house. Stevie Nicks says she really doesn't care whether the new song is a hit or not. She just wants people to listen.
Poets write what they write. And poets should not be censored. Writers should not be censored. This song should not be censored. It should go out into the world and do what it's going to do. Maybe change some minds.
You better learn how to fight. You better say it out loud.
There is a God, and God gave me this talent to sing and write and dance. So I'm doing my job.
You know that feeling when your favorite brand really gets you? Deliver that feeling to your customers every time. Memorable moments like these are key to building your business and your brand. Klaviyo turns your customer data into real-time connections across AI-powered email, SMS, and more, making every moment count, so you can continue to build smarter, more meaningful relationships with your customers. Build smarter digital relationships with your customers and make every moment count with Klaviyo. Learn more at klaviyo.com/BFCM.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why over 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
Steve Hartman this morning has a story about brotherhood.
At Clemson University in South Carolina.
Good morning, guys.
The Clemson Life Program gives students with intellectual disabilities a chance to learn life skills for independent living.
So we are going to do grocery shopping today.
But as much as the program offers, junior Charlie McGee wanted the whole college experience, from Alpha to Omega.
Why did you want to join a fraternity?
To have a great time and experiencing that brotherhood and more joy.
Unfortunately, rushing a fraternity is a process. There are interviews and mixers, and even then there's no guarantee of acceptance. In fact, no fraternity here had ever taken a kid from the Clemson Life Program. Until now.
And when Charlie found out he got a bid, he was so excited, he ran out of his left shoe and into the loving arms of his new fraternity brothers at Pi Kappa Alpha.
We saw him run towards us and we just lost it. And then after that, it was just raw emotion of all of us just taking him in.
That was one of the coolest moments at Clemson that we've had, was seeing that right there, so.
The guys told me at first, some of the members doubted a person with Down syndrome could fit in with the group, but they were willing to do Charlie the favor. Only to learn later that Charlie was the one doing them the favor.
The joy and light that we were missing in our chapter that we didn't know we were missing from the beginning is unreal.
He kind of broke all the preconceived notions that I thought of that a fraternity man should be like.
Others have come to the same conclusion. This year, a total of 6 fraternities and 5 sororities all welcome students from Clemson Life. And according to Charlie, it will be a game changer. Because he says something magical happens whenever you're accepted this fully.
My disability, it doesn't really exist.
When you're with your fraternity brothers, you feel like your disability doesn't exist?
Yes, sir.
Now that's a rush.
With the World Series in full swing, we thought this was the perfect time for our 60 Minutes colleague, John Wertheim, to talk with the man they call Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker.
Ever since Babe Ruth was waddling around the bases, there have been grim predictions about baseball's future. Time has passed in the national pastime, too leisurely, too bucolic.
How you doing?
Good.
Very good.
Last year's World Series television ratings and this season's batting averages both hit 50-year lows. Baseball, they say, is dying. But never mind the current World Series between two of the game's stalwarts, the Yankees and Dodgers. Want to feel better about baseball's health? Just go to a Milwaukee Brewers game. Here, in Major League Baseball's smallest market, cheese curds sweat under floodlights. Frozen custard unspools into batting helmets. Hometown Miller flows liberally. And on the stadium's second level, the most authentic Milwaukee touch of all.
A standing ovation for Bob Uecker in the radio booth. 54th home opener in his career, 90 years young.
In 6 undistinguished seasons as a catcher in the majors, Bob Uecker never played an inning for the Brewers.
Get up, and get out of here, gone!
But during a half century as the team's play-by-play announcer,
the throw, he's in there, three-bagger.
He's become equal parts mayor and mascot in the city of his birth, all the while declining offers from bigger markets, laying off pitches, as it were.
We heard George Steinbrenner came trying to recruit you in the 80s, and you said, no, I'm good here in Milwaukee.
Steinbrenner sent a couple of people out to talk to me about joining the Yankees.
Trying to poach you.
Yeah, but I loved Milwaukee and, born and raised here.
Uecker began his major league career in 1962 with the Milwaukee Braves before the franchise moved to Atlanta.
I was the first player from Milwaukee to ever be signed by the Braves. I was also the first Milwaukee native to be sent to the minor leagues by the Braves.
If Uecker's on-field inadequacies hampered his playing career, they provided some of his best material in a lengthy and lucrative second career as an actor and comedian.
Mr. Baseball, would you welcome Bob Uecker?
Employing a bone-dry wit, he made more than 40 appearances on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show.
I did Tonight Shows, you know, whenever they wanted.
Right.
Give me as fast as you can all the teams you've ever played with.
Braves, Cardinals, Phillies, and the Braves again. Then in June, I was with...
I would leave here on a Sunday afternoon, fly to L.A., do the Monday night show, take a red-eye back here, and be here for Tuesday's game.
All right, maybe I wasn't the greatest player of all time, but fans, they forgive and forget.
The Carson guest spots led to a series of notable TV commercials.
You're in the wrong seat, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row.
As well as a starring sitcom role.
Ah, nice hands, 47.
Yeah, I could have got that one.
Let's not go crazy, Kev.
And perhaps most memorably...
Hello again, everybody. Harry Doyle here, welcoming...
The role of the perpetually blitzed announcer in the Major League movies.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering... just a bit outside.
Oh, Harry Doyle, Bob Uecker bobblehead.
This past summer, Harry Doyle bobblehead night...
That's the reason we came today. Get the bobblehead.
...brought the Uecker faithful out in force.
What's your favorite Bob Uecker line?
Just a bit outside. That's where my wife put me a lot of times.
He's just uniquely funny.
Before serving 16 years as baseball's commissioner, Bud Selig owned the Brewers, and in 1971 hired Uecker, misguidedly, as a scout.
He says he wasn't much of a scout.
Legitimately true. There were mashed potatoes on the damn scouting report. I couldn't read it. He couldn't read it.
You get mashed potatoes on your scouting report. We got to find a new line of work.
That's
for you.
Exactly right.
Selig moved Uecker to the Brewers broadcast booth later that year.
Folks.
Today, there's even a statue, where else?
What's up, buddy?
In the very last row of the upper deck, behind a pole.
No doubt about that, baby.
But for all the stardom, all the gigs and gags, the late night laughs at his own expense.
He fancies himself still a player.
Yeah.
Do you sense it?
Oh, yeah. He lets us know about his catching days.
Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff.
He's one of us. He's part of the team, and... I think that's why we embrace him so much, is that he's on this ride with us, and that's what makes it cool.
You know, I played the game, so I know how hard it is. I know how tough it is to play this game.
You still have a bond with these guys out here that doing it.
Absolutely. The game celebrations when we win, that's a big part of it, man.
Celebrating on the field, celebrating in the stands.
To be able to walk into that clubhouse and be with them.
But baseball is cruel, and in Milwaukee, celebrations are short-lived. Earlier this month, with the Brewers just two outs from winning the wild card, the New York Mets came from behind on a dramatic home run.
Deep warning track and gone.
On the radio, Uecker didn't hide the hurt.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it.
The Brewers' first World Series title will have to wait. There's speculation that the heartbreaking loss may have marked Uecker's last game as an announcer. But as his 91st birthday nears, the man they call Mr. Baseball told us he doesn't want to imagine his life without it.
Now the pitch. Strike him out swinging.
I don't know what I would do, you know, with no more. If I think of no more baseball for me. I don't know what that would be like. You know, I got out of high school and I joined the Army and I signed a baseball contract. That's been it, really.
So long, everybody, from American Family Field here in Milwaukee.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom, like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Manage pharmacy benefit plan costs. For even more value, you'll need TrueCost, introduced by CVS Caremark. Now you can get simpler pricing at the drug level so you and your members get more predictability. It's a new CVS Caremark model you can count on to help you make more strategic decisions. And because TrueCost from CVS Caremark simplifies drug pricing, you'll be able to create a plan that your members actually stick to. Go to cvs.co/TrueCost to find out more. That's cvs.co/TrueCost.
Thank you for listening. Please join us when our trumpet sounds again next Sunday morning.
If you like this podcast, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a quick survey at wondery.com/survey.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast from Wondery and T-Boy about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who brought them to life. Like, did you know that Super Mario, the best-selling video game character of all time, only exists because Nintendo couldn't get the rights to Popeye? Or Jack, that the idea for the McDonald's Happy Meal first came from a mom in Guatemala? From Pez dispensers to Levi's 501s to Air Jordans, discover the surprising stories of the most viral products. Plus, we guarantee that after listening, you're going to dominate your next dinner party. So follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the best idea yet early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. It's just the best idea yet.